Good morning. Today we continue the series on the Ten Commandments by examining the ninth commandment as is recorded for us in Exodus 20 and verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The ninth commandment is concerned with truth-telling. Firstly, it is concerned with truth-telling in the context of a courtroom or a proceeding akin to a courtroom. Secondly, it is concerned with truth-telling generally. Let us look, firstly, at truth-telling in the context of a courtroom or a proceeding akin to a courtroom. If witnesses in a trial, whether civil or criminal, do not tell the truth, it is extremely difficult for judges and juries to render proper decisions. In other words, the judicial system of a nation depends on the honesty of its people. Otherwise, confidence in the judicial system will suffer needless erosion. That is why the Bible warns in Proverbs 19, verse 5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Interestingly, the law of Moses prescribed that the punishment imposed on a witness who gave false testimony was to be the same as the punishment that would have been meted out to the accused had the false testimony been believed. In the case of a crime that would have been punishable by death, it would result in the false witness being liable to capital punishment. Secondly, the ninth commandment is concerned with truth-telling generally. Truth-telling is binding even on our casual conversation, our social interaction, our emails, our social media postings, our news reporting, and in our preaching. Two very cherished sins are prohibited by this commandment. These are gossip and slander. Gossip is passing along a report or rumor that cannot be substantiated. Gossip is also passing on a true but unflattering report unnecessarily. Some of you may think, I don't pass along things I don't know, but yeah, if I pass along that someone had slept with someone or someone just got fired from the job, I'm not gossiping, I'm just telling people the truth. But you need to ask yourself, is it necessary to pass along this information? One should always ask oneself, would the person I'm about to talk about be happy if I were to pass along this information? Now, if you pass along that, he just graduated with honors, got a great new job or won an award, yes, that's great. You can gossip good news, but would he be happy for a bit of bad news to be shared, even if it is true and factual? What is our motive in passing along a juicy bit of quote-unquote news? Is it a real desire to share truth, or is it to do harm? It's wrong to gossip, and it is also wrong to listen to gossip. In the face of hearing gossip, one should summon the courage to say, I'm not sure we should be having this conversation right now. Or, I don't think we know all the facts. We need to stop right here. Or, I don't need to hear this. Please stop. Truth be told, sometimes our silence in the face of gossip is as sinful as the gossip itself. While gossip is passing along what you may not know, or passing along what's true but unnecessary, slander goes one step further. Slander is deliberately communicating something one knows to be false or something one does not care to check the veracity of. Slander includes assuming the worst motives for another's intentions and refusing to ever give such a person the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes we form a perception that does not have any foundation in truth. And then we tell others our perception without any verification. Sometimes we go even further to share this unverified perception. When that happens, you are guilty of slander. So we may say things like, Miss Mary left church hurriedly without greeting me. She must be therefore angry with me and upset with me. It was entirely possible, of course, that Miss Mary left hurriedly to go home because she was feeling terribly ill, or she had to run to the airport, or a myriad of other reasons that we know nothing about. In summary, Christians have an absolute moral obligation to speak and honor the truth in all our private conversations and in every communication. The Christian's obligation to speak truth is rooted in God's character. God is truth. God is the embodiment of truth. The Lord Jesus described himself in John 14, verse 6 as the way, the truth, and the life. Everything about God reflects absolute and undiluted truth. In him there is no lie. His justice and his righteousness are established in absolute truth. God's people are called to be a people of the truth. We are to honor and tell the truth, to defend and discern the truth, to love the Bible as the word of truth. We are to uphold the truth, even if the whole world would disbelieve the truth, hate the truth, and are determined to twist or subvert the truth. In the ninth commandment, the love of God and love of neighbor are combined. Furthermore, the ninth commandment demands a willingness of those who know the truth to stand up for others and speak in their defense when they are unjustly charged or unjustly accused. Christians are required to speak truth in circumstances in which the truth is called for. Christians should herald truth on behalf of those who are being defamed, denigrated, and disparaged. This is increasingly urgent in the Jamaican context, where the negative culture of informer for dead often prevails. Sadly, many Christians are cowards and will not stand up and tell what they know in instances of crime, public sector corruption, or private sector corruption. God says in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1, a person sins if he or she knows the facts of a crucial case and does not testify. Furthermore, the passage declares that such a person is party to the wrongdoing. Those who are keen on lying, gossip, and slander have the devil as their father, Jesus told some Pharisees in John 8, verse 44. Lies are a means for the promotion of evil. Virtually all the great societal evils of world history were based on lies. The African slave trade was based on the lie that black people were innately inferior to whites. The Jewish Holocaust was based on the lie that those of Aryan stock were inherently superior to the Jewish race. The former Soviet Union believed that its Communist Party and not God was a source of truth. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 lists some egregious sinners who God will punish. Liars are included in that list, that God says, quote, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, close quote. In other words, all who have ever told a lie are fit for the lake of fire and brimstone. For indeed, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And we also know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for all categories of sinners, and that would include liars. The gospel teaches that God's forgiveness is freely available to us because Christ bore the penalty for our sins. Today, the person who surrenders his or her life to Christ no longer stands under the wrath of God towards sinners. But that person can rest secure in the knowledge that his or her record of sins, including lying, has been blotted out, indeed expunged. As Psalm 103, verse 12 says, their sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. When we surrender our lives to Christ through the Holy Spirit, we can gain power over the temptation to lie and commit other sins. When a liar or any other sinner surrenders his or her life to Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit becomes available to transform the person to hate sin, hate lies, and become one who speaks the truth boldly. The gospel is the only remedy for the sin of lying, slandering, and gossiping. The gospel is the only remedy for the deadly sin of bearing false witness. The gospel, and only the gospel, points us to Christ, who is faithful and true. Next week, we will look at the 10th commandment, which deals with covetousness. Until then, may God bless you greatly.